Well, I know Miss Marie's in a hurry, so y'all open your Bibles to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter number 14. Do a little quick Bible lesson this evening. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. I wish everybody was here. Amen. I got in on it. I like everybody to get in on it. Amen. Don't you? Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. All right, Judges chapter 14. The title of the message is simply this: Things Not Told to Mom and Dad. Things Not Told to Mom and Dad. Now, there are a lot of things I never told my mom or my dad. My mom passed on a few years ago, and she left this world not knowing a lot of things because I didn't tell her. In all of her lifetime. Now, I know you folks from Holmes County, y'all probably told mom and dad everything, but I didn't tell mom and dad everything. Some things I didn't want them to know, amen. And I still don't want them to know, even though those things are many years behind me, amen. A lot of things that I did, they said, well, poor old Donnie, when they really should have said, dirty dog Donnie. But nevertheless, I'm glad they don't know, and I'm not telling, and I'm not telling you, or you tell them too, so I'm going to be quiet about that, amen. But I'll point out these verses that are part of the message as we go along. Judges chapter 14, verse number 1. And Samson, what a mystery this man is, went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, I can hear my mama in this too. Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? I expect they said it a little bit rougher than what I did. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. You need to understand that word pleaseth me there. It actually has to do with the visual eyesight. In other words, she was pleasant on the eyes. He liked the way she looked. And that'll almost always get you in trouble, but that's what that means. But his father and his mother, here's number one, knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. There's one thing he wasn't told to mom and dad. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. Number two. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating. In other words, he went on his way eating honey, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them. And they did eat. Number three. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take what we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, number four, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted, and it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, and this is one of the earliest verses in the Bible I've memorized, if you have not plowed with my heifer, ye have not found out my riddle. Now, I like that because that's one of the words my daddy used to use for my mama. Or my sister, a lot of times he'd call them heifers. You old heifer. You may have heard that before, but I like that. And the Spirit, verse 19 says, of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. My. Well, I want us to read, if you will, first of all, verse 4, and go back and recount that, where it says that, now we've read that before this, that his daddy was upset. And no doubt Mama was upset too that he had chosen him a woman to become his wife. That was the intent. Who was a Philistine. Now when you hear on the news today about the Palestinians over there in the Middle East, you may as well put the word Philistine in there because it's the same crowd of people and they live in the very same exact portion of land along the Gaza Strip. And Daddy was upset. And he said this, he said, can't you find a woman my brethren, of our household, Israelites, and not have to go out and find you a woman who was quote unquote a part of the uncircumcised Philistines? Now what did that mean? That meant that they were outside of the Abraham covenant that God had made with Abraham, because the sign of the covenant was this, that every male child would be circumcised the eighth day. Amen. So that's what he's saying. You are going to marry a stranger. Not simply in the sense of being someone who's not a part of our clan, but somebody who's outside God's people. And that's always a danger, amen. And so that's the way that they're feeling about this. But his response is, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, why would he say that to Daddy? Because the custom was back then, whenever somebody wanted to wed a woman, the daddy of the family would go and pay a dowry to the daddy of the bride. So it was the daddy that always arranged the marriage of his son to a bride. Matter of fact, many peace treaties were entered into in biblical days by the son of one nation's people and the daughter of another nation's people marrying together. And that made the peace treaty bound between them. And so the daddy, he said, go get her for me because she pleases me well. In other words, she's a good looking woman and I like to have her as my wife. Always a bad idea. Be very, very careful. Amen. Nothing wrong with marrying a good-looking woman. Make sure you've had a look at the inside before you get too attached to the outside. And that's all I got to say about that. But in verse number 4, it says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. Now let me tell you something. God is not one who has to get our permission to do anything.
Amen.
And God is not obligated, my friend, to always let us know what He is doing. Huh? Job went through all the days of suffering and torment, and he had no idea why it was happening to him. Amen? And so don't ever feel because you don't know what's going on that God may be far off in the distance. No, He may be more closer to your doorstep than you realize. Amen.
Right.
Huh? And so this says that Samson's attraction to this Philistine woman was something that God was behind and motivating. Now, I want to look at two things here that I see. Number one, we know in Scripture what I would call the understood will of God. What is that, preacher? Well, whenever God states something in His Word, amen, that's the understood will of God. It's not up for debate.
Right.
It's not up for a vote. It's not up for conjecture or speculation. It is understood to be the will of God. Amen. Huh? Well, the will of God, if you go back later and read chapter number 34 of Exodus, the will of God was that every man would take a wife of somebody who was a member of their own tribe. That was the understood will of God. You know why? What was that? 430 years before, God promised them the land of Canaan as what? An inheritance. And so that entire land was allotted between the tribes. They all had their own area. The larger the tribe, the larger the area. And everybody who was a part of that tribe, when the people were numbered, they received a portion of land. A lot of you no doubt have land that you inherited from mom and daddy who got it back down the road somewhere. There was a big land grab many years ago, amen. In America, you get out there and everybody can have so many acres. I done forgot how many it was. But nevertheless, they were to marry within their own tribe. Now, if an individual married somebody of another tribe, let's say somebody that was a member of Manasseh married somebody who was of the tribe of Ephraim, then the woman would inherit with the man in his original tribe. Now, the understood will of God, and He states this in Exodus 34, the reason you should do this is because if you go marrying strange women, foreign women, then they will persuade you and entice you to worship their gods. That's what He said. So we know the understood will of God is that one of God's people marry the right person that God's got for them. Amen? That's always the best way. But all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a situation where Samson's about to marry a foreign lady. They know not the Lord except in defeat. They worship the fish god, Dagon. We know the understood will of God is that he should not be marrying this woman. But yet we read here that his mother and daddy were not told. They did not know that what Samson was doing was of the Lord.
Right.
You say, well, preacher, that seems like a contradiction to me. Well, actually, it's not. God in this portion of Scripture has not changed his understood will. But God is working with what he has to work with. Now you'll go back to the previous chapter, chapter 13. And when the Lord appeared unto Manoah and his wife, he told them, even though she was barren, she was going to bear a son. And he told her, don't you be fooling around with grapes. Don't you do use strong drink, because he that's going to be born of you will be a Nazarite. He had a vow placed upon him at birth. And here, what the Lord said why this child was going to be born. He will begin to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. Now, you see, he said he will begin it. It never was completed until the reign of David. He was the one that finally delivered the children of Israel completely and entirely from the Philistines. And so it says that what Samson was doing was of the Lord.
Right.
Now, if you'll go read Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 later on, you're going to find that the scripture there says that the things that are revealed are for us, but the unseen things are of God. So we not only see here the understood will of God, but we see the unseen work of God. Now listen. God always works behind the scene to bring about his perfect will.
Yes, sir.
Now, Samson was a Nazarite from birth. If you go to Numbers chapter 6 later, you can read all about the Nazarite vow. Nazarite vow, a man could take that upon himself. By the way, ladies, a female could take one upon herself. They could designate it for a certain period of time, and they would be deemed as a Nazarite. But not only that, a father could put one on somebody else. Amen. Well, God... there are two people in the Bible I know that God put a Nazarite vow on. One of them was this man Samson. The other one was the man John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And so we see, despite Samson contradicting or ignoring the understood will of God, that we see the unseen hand of God working in the background.
Yes, sir.
How many of you remember a certain verse that goes like this? For we know that all things work together.
Yes, sir.
For good.
Good.
Now, what Samson is about to do is bad. It's bad for any number of reasons, but it's really bad because he's going outside the will of God. Now, I could understand, whereas somebody else put a Nazarite vow on you, it might be a little more difficult to honor than if you took it upon yourself. That could be, but nevertheless, Samson was a Nazarite. Now, what does that word Nazarite mean? It means separated, or separated one. And that's what it implies, separation. That's against consecration and dedication. That's what it implies.
Right.
And there were three requirements, and we'll deal with those in the midst of here. Because we see that God is going to do something. Why was God the motivator behind this? Are you ready? Because the Lord knew that in order for him to start delivering the children of Israel from the Philistines, he had to change his affection for the Philistines into anger against the Philistines. Huh?
Right.
That's it. Now, he went down to Timnath. Now, where is that? It's not in the land of the Philistines. It's actually in the tribe of Dan, of which Samson and his parents were born. But it happens to be right on the border of the Philistine territory. But nevertheless, the scripture we read right here tells us that the Philistines reigned over the children of Israel at this time. Now, if you know anything about the judges, during that period of time, the children of Israel would do evil in the sight of the Lord. God would deliver them into the hands of an enemy. Then God would raise up a Savior to deliver them from that enemy. Amen. Trying to bring His people back to Him, the author and finisher, amen, of their faith. And so even though God told them that He would be a Nazarite, He didn't bother to tell them here, Mom and Daddy, that him marrying that woman, that Philistine woman, God was behind it. Amen. See, we're quick to judge, aren't we? Huh? You see, here's the purpose and the reason behind it. Are you ready? God chose and raised up this man, Samson, for this purpose. We look at his life and we would say, God chose the wrong man. Well, we might say that, but God didn't say that. He raised Samson up to use him to put a whooping on the Philistines. And he knew he couldn't do that if Samson's walking around living with the Philistines and loving the Philistines. So he knew he had to turn his affection to anger. So God didn't bother telling Mom and Dad. See, Mom and Dad might get a little more involved than what they should have. Amen. So they were not told about the behavior of Samson, but then they weren't told about something else. They weren't told about the beast in Samson. So look, if you will, in verse 5, and it says, "Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother." Now, we've got to clarify something here. Even though it appears like they're walking down the path together, they are not. They are separated. Mom and Dad are going to get there first. He's going to present the dowry. He's going to arrange the marriage. And then Samson's coming behind. We know that because Samson is parted from them. Had they been together when this lion attacked, they wouldn't have known about it. And he wouldn't have had to hide it from him, would he? So we know that they got separated. They went to Timnath. And here we go. Came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him, he tore him, as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done.
Right.
Now listen. Let's say I went out there into the parking lot and I lifted up that big pretty SUV of our brother Harrison over here up over my head. And I sat her down. You think that I wouldn't tell anybody about that? Son, I'd be sure everybody knew about it. Amen? Boy, I'm going to tell you what I did. And you'd have thought old Samson would have went up there and tempted me. Said, "Mama, let me tell you what happened to me. Boy, this lion came out and he roared against me. I grabbed him by the throat and I tore him in pieces with my bare hands." Ha ha! Glory to God! That's the power of God on me. But no, he didn't tell his mother and his father. Does that make any sense to you? Does it make any sense to me? When you youngins get an A on your report card, do you hide it or do you go say, "Look, Mama, I got an A in geography," or whatever, amen? Well, no, whenever some fantastic feat or event happens in our life, we're sure everybody knows about it. But he didn't tell them. Why didn't he tell them? Well, the first thing I want us to look at is what I call Samson's path. While they went to Timnath, look where he went. Middle of the verse 5, and he came to the vineyards of Timnath. Where did he go? To the vineyards. What grows in the vineyards? Grapes. What was Samson to avoid? Even his mother was told to avoid it when she was carrying him. What was the number one thing he was to avoid? Grapes. You go read it for yourself in Numbers chapter 6. They were not to drink wine. They were not to drink strong drink. They were not to eat a grape. They were not so much to even eat a dried grape, nor the peeling of it. Go read it yourself. They were to avoid grapes altogether. And I could go into a long diatribe about that, but it's not necessary at this time. The point is, his path took him where he should not have been.
Right.
Mom and Daddy's not there, but he's there. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you something. When a child of God makes a decision to go where he ought not go, he is putting himself in a place of danger.
Right. Exactly.
When you do something that is diametrically opposed to what God has instructed, you're putting yourself in a place of danger.
Right.
Why? Because we not only see Samson's path, but we see Samson's predator. There was somebody else that was in the vineyards that day, and it wasn't a Shunammite woman. It was a lion. And it weren't old war out lion. It was a young, voracious lion. Amen. And the Bible says he roared against him. Amen.
Sure did.
Now, I preached a message before about when a lion roars. He roars for three reasons. Number one, he's hungry.
Yeah.
Number two, he's angry. Number three, he's scared. We'll even roar. Somebody scares us good enough, won't we? The young lion roared, but what is the descriptive there? Against him. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, you know it well as I do, be sober. What does that mean? Have all the components of your body under control all the time. Be vigilant. What does that mean? Be aware of your surroundings and be on guard. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may destroy or devour. Oh, man. So you see, friends, when you go down the wrong path that God doesn't want you to go down, you just might run into a predator, your adversary, the devil. Amen. Now, why would this happen? You see, Satan knew that Samson was God's man. Now you find that all the way through the scripture. Satan's always aware of the one who might threaten him.
That's right.
You ever think about that old serpent, that shining one in the garden? He said, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of any tree of the garden. Huh? Amen?
Right.
Now, he knew
that there was one person in that garden at that time that had dominion over him. When God spoke to Adam and Eve, He said, "You have dominion over all the earth. You multiply." And He said, "Literally, I'm making you king over this earth." And that He had dominion over that serpent. So, the serpent knew that in order for him to be top, God's son had to be on the bottom. According to the genealogy of Luke chapter 3, Adam is called the Son of God, by the way. And he was at that point in time, amen. And so, he got Eve. He didn't come right at Adam because he knows what works. If he can't get you directly, he will come through your spouse. He went to Eve and he said, "Just take a look at that tree." As far as we know, at this point in time, she ain't paid it no mind, amen. But she immediately went down the wrong path. And she looked at that tree. And the Bible says this, it said, "And when she saw the tree was good for food." Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how she knew that if she hadn't bitten it before. When she saw that the tree was good for food, and listen now, pleasant to the eyes. That's what got on Samson. And good to make one wise. Now, where did she get that idea? She just got it from that old serpent who said, "If you eat of that tree, God knows that your eyes will be open and you'll be like him, knowing good and evil." So, in this situation, Satan knows that if he can kill God's man, if he can destroy God's vessel, then he'll be able to continue his dominion over the people of God. You need to get something through your head, church member. Satan's not down here at, what's that saloon up there on 79? He used to send people up there all the time when I dispatched. Sam's, is that it? He's not up on the hill in Sam's. He's not out in the dives and hell holes of this world, son. He's sitting on the church pew right next to me and you. You better believe it. Why? They're not a threat to him.
That's right.
They're doing exactly what makes him happy, amen, because he ain't got to bother with them. But his desire is to bring down God's man and God's people. And if he can kill Samson, he won't have to worry about it anymore. Philistines can continue to reign over God's people.
That's it.
So that lion comes out, amen. But whatever question Satan has, God's always got an answer, amen.
Yes, sir.
And so the Bible says here at this particular time, "And the Spirit of the Lord," in verse 6, "came mightily upon him." Now, if you read the last verse of the previous chapter, you'll find that the Spirit of God began to come upon him at certain times and move him, amen. That word literally means it would beat him. You will remember whenever he was with Delilah, he said, "Well, you know, when she cries the Philistines, I'll get out here." And here's what he said. He said, "I'll shake myself." Do you remember that?
Right.
Hmm?
Yes.
If any young people here tonight besides old Hutch, they would recall probably the Incredible Hulk. Now, I know he didn't get bigger, but son, he got stronger, amen. And so we see Samson's power.
Yes.
Now, the power may have been incarnated in Samson, but it was not his own power.
That's right, brother.
For when Delilah got through with him, he went out to shake himself as times before, and he knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him.
Yeah.
I got to go on. We see that we're not told about Samson's behavior, that we're not told about Samson and the beast. But then you were not told about Samson and the bees. Look, if you will, in verse number 8. "And after a time, he returned to take her." All right. That tells us that the arrangements have been made
And he's going to take her to be his bride. And the wedding procession will begin, which consists of a 7-day feast. So as he's going there after a time, he turns aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took therefore in his hands and went on eating, came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So here he is. He's going to get his bride. He's going to see his bride. He's going to be a part of that joyous 7-day festival of marriage. But then all of a sudden his curiosity gets the best of him. Now the Bible doesn't say that he walked straight ahead and saw the carcass of the lion. No, it says he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. What happened, son? His curiosity got the best of him. He said, let me go see that old lion that I tore apart in that. See, he was even amazed at what he did. Amen. And so he turned aside to see this carcass. Amen. Now, you see, the devil loved nothing better than to distract us.
Right. Exactly.
When we are in the house of God and we are preaching the word of God and teaching, and our mind ought to be upon the things of God, the devil will get us distracted looking at some swamp lady or something and thinking about her, I hate her, or something else.
Yeah.
Hmm? Oh, don't act so innocent. All churches have that problem, I know. I've lived long enough to see it. I'm old man, ain't you see? Amen. And so Satan's job is to distract us from that which is ahead of us, amen, in order to do what? To get us turned aside.
Turned aside, yes. That's right, brother.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Amen. And so he turned aside and he saw the carcass. Now, there's something wrong here with this, because Samson has now put himself once again in a place of danger. Why? Because he's already violated his Nazarite vow when he went down to the vineyards where the grapes were. Let me ask you something. Why would you go to vineyards unless you were going to pull and eat a few grapes? Really not any point, is it? When you're going to point A, but you turn aside to point B, there has to be a reason for turning aside to point B. And when point B happens to be a vineyard, it means somebody more than likely went down there to eat him a grape or two. He violated the first part of his Nazarite vow. Now he sees a dead carcass, the second part of his Nazarite vow. A Nazarite was not to touch any or approach anything that was dead. Matter of fact, can I say, as long, and the Bible tells you this in Numbers chapter 6, as long as that Nazarite vow was upon an individual, they could not even go to mama or daddy's funeral. You say, that sounds mighty harsh to me. Well, friend, you need to come to understand what the holiness of God really means is what you need to do.
Yes, right.
And if you violated that vow, you did go to mom and daddy's funeral, then you would be declared unclean and you'd have to go through this lengthy process of cleansing before you could ever be reestablished in your vow. Now what does that tell you? Samson didn't want to have to go through all that. One thing it involved was shaving your head. Huh?
Right.
Now, what he's done here, out of his curiosity, he's put himself in a place of temptation.
So we see the curiosity, we see the carcass, but then we see what I call a contradiction. Do you know what it is? Honeybees do not form their comb in dead animals. Honeybees are not carnivores. They should not have been in that carcass. Well, let me think here real hard and maybe I can figure out who's behind that. Do you remember whenever the children of Israel went through Baal Peor and the king there called up a false prophet named Balaam and he paid him money to curse the people of God? And he responded. He said, "Man, I can't curse the people that God has blessed. Bad as he wanted that money, and bad as he wanted to do it, he could not do it." And even God even stopped him in the way one time, was fixing to kill him. Yes. And if he didn't have an ass that was smarter than him, he'd have been dead.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to tell you what the Bible tells us later on. It says this. Balaam said to that king, he said, "I can't curse the people of God that he's blessed, but I can tell you how to make God curse them."
Yeah.
And here's what he said. "You got a lot of good-looking Midianite women living with you. Whenever they pass through this place, if you'll just run a bunch of them naked women out amongst them, that bunch of Jewish boys that's been locked up down in Egypt for 430 years won't be able to resist them. And whenever they go after them and pursue them, God himself will kill them." How many remember Phinehas when it happened? So when he saw what was happening, he grabbed him a spear. Son, he began to kill that bunch. God said he'd have a priesthood forever. I don't have time to get into all that. What I'm trying to say is this. If the devil can't get his hands on you, if the devil can't kill you, he'll try to get you in a place where God will kill you. He says, "I've already got him in the vineyards. Now if I can just lure him to touch this dead carcass, he will have broken two of the vows of his Nazarite vow." So what did he place out of place? In the dead carcass of a lion. A swarm of bees with honey. Now I want to tell you, honey in those days was like money today. Amen. What'd Samson do? He went over there and he reached inside that carcass and he got him a load of that honey. The Bible says that God does not tempt any person to do evil.
Right.
But son, the devil does. Amen.
Right.
And so Samson at this point in time became careless. You know what it means to be careless? You couldn't care less. That's what it means. And so that honey in that dead carcass was more important to him at this time than his sacred vow to God Almighty. And so I say, it's a wonder God didn't kill him. But you see, here's the thing about it. God chose to use him. And I can hear God saying, "I chose to use him and I will use him." Is he worthy? No. But son, you may as well get ready right now and understand, you're not worthy and I'm not worthy of anything.
Right.
And if God ever accomplishes anything through us, it's to his glory and not because of who we are. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, guess what he did? He took that honey to mom and daddy. He said, "Man, look at this honey I got a hold of here." What did the Bible say they did? They ate some of it too. But he did not tell them that it came out of the dead carcass of a lion. They assumed that honey comes from a honeycomb that's inside a hollow tree or something like that. Not a dead animal. But he did not tell them. Why didn't he tell them? He knew that if he could, he told them about the lion, He would have had to tell them where he got attacked. They'd want to see it, and they would know that he'd been where he was not supposed to be.
We used to sneak out the bedroom window, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But I am going to say this. You can believe to this day, I've not told Mom or Dad what we did, amen. I didn't want them to know where we were.
That's it, brother.
I wish I could forget it. He didn't tell them about the lion. Surely he desired to brag about it. But he did not want Mom and Daddy to know that he was in a place he ought not be in, according to his Nazarite vow.
Yes, sir.
He didn't tell them where he got the honey, because they would have known that he touched a dead carcass if he told them where he got that honey. And it rendered him unclean, and it would have done the same for his mama and his daddy. Amen. So you know what? He came to the conclusion, I'm just not going to tell him. So Mom and Dad wasn't told about Samson's behavior. Mom and Dad wasn't told about Samson's beast. Mom and Daddy wasn't told about Samson's bees. Mom and Daddy wasn't told about Samson's bed. We read it because of time. We won't read it again. But it simply says this. When Samson proceeded to that wedding festival, it says 30 companions came out to meet him, and they were all men. Right off the bat, you know something's wrong. Who usually went out to meet the bridegroom? Women. And usually they were virgins. Do you remember the parable of the 10 virgins? The 5 wise and the 5 foolish? But instead, a bunch of men come out to greet him as he comes into Timnath. So immediately we find out that Samson is outnumbered. Ooh. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You never want to put yourself in a position as a child of God that you are outnumbered by the childs of the devil. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that's what the Bible says. Why? Because when you put yourself in that situation, and it's not God who's put you there, then you've placed yourself in a place of jeopardy and danger, haven't you? Amen. So here he is, surrounded by 30 men. And he's outnumbered. But he says, you know what? I'm a pretty smart fella. Anybody tear a lion in two, he's a pretty smart fella. Anybody can do what I've already done and get away with it, Mom and Daddy don't know about it, he's a pretty smart fella. So he said, I tell you what, and this was common in this day, at a feast for somebody to put forth a riddle for people to work on during the time of that feast. He said, here we go, but you see, Samson made a bed out of it. He said, I'll buy you a sheet and garments for each one of you 30 individuals if you can figure out my riddle. But if you can't, then you give me 30 sheets and 30 garments. Amen. Some they figured, and they couldn't figure that thing out. And so they decided they could do a little threatening, and they went to his woman and said, tell you what, if you don't find out the answer for us to this thing, we're going to burn you and your daddy's house to the ground. You know, that's not the kind of people I want to hang around with, even if I'm a Philistine, but that's the situation here, amen. And that's the situation that Samson's about to marry himself into, man of God. She says, you say you love me, but you haven't told me the answer to that riddle. I ain't figured it out. Tell me what the answer is. He said, listen, I ain't even told my mom and daddy the answer to that riddle. And she stayed after him and stayed after him. Now, if you'll read the next couple of chapters, you'll find Delilah pulled the same gimmick. She pestered him to death till he finally told her the true source of his strength. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Bible says it's better to run into the woods than dwell in the house with a contentious woman. Bible says it's better to live on the rooftop than stay in the house with a contentious woman. Son, she just drove him crazy. Finally, he said, man, I can't take this no more. And he told her the answer to the riddle. So Samson was outnumbered, and then he was outwitted. He knew then how they came up with that answer. And he said, you didn't figure it out yourself. You got it from my heifer. I'm on close. He was outnumbered. He was outwitted. And then he was outraged. Now, God has finally got him where he wanted him to be. Amen? Look at this, verse number 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon, and he slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which had expounded the riddle. Now look. And his anger was kindled. Now it took a while, but God finally got him where he wanted him to be. You see, friends, that's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father.
See.
You see, when we fall in love with things that are not the things of God, then we're putting ourselves in the same place old Samson put himself in there.
Yes.
Now, friend, I want to tell you something. If God chose to do something with one of us, God's going to do it. We might, our britches might be ripped and half burnt, and we'd be bruised and scratched, but believe me, God chooses to do it. He's going to do it with you, yes, just sir, like he did Philistine. Now, why did God raise Samson up to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines? It wound up that it cost him his life. But then this little note is put in the scriptures that in his death, Samson killed more Philistines than he did in his life. So listen, Samson lost. He lost his eyes. But God won. But God won. Hey, not everything's told to mom and dad, but that don't mean God's not doing something. Amen. Don't mean that God's not working. Now, if we were more concerned as a church about the things of God than we were the things of the world,
yes,
friend, these few pews would be full of people. Amen.
Amen.
And they'd have been full Sunday. Hallelujah. But you see, here's the thing about it. We treat the vows of God carelessly.
Yes.
And the presence and power of God carelessly. And for that purpose, we have paid as a church in the United States of America dearly. And unless God in His omnipotence does something, friend, it will not get any better. And 20 years, 10 to 20 years from this day, many churches that only have a few elderly folks in them will be closed down. And the church buildings will be turned into houses. That's already began to happen in America. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Don't tell mom and dad, but go tell everybody else. Amen. God bless you.